Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello, welcome to the latest Wildcast. I'm Zach Rosenblatt of the Arizona Daily Star, here with Justin Spears. If you're confused why I'm doing the intro today, it's because Michael is still in California, just living the dream, going to the beach probably.
Yeah.
With his family.
We gotta emphasize that it's Monday, Friday.
Yeah, Michael just coasting along in California. But we're still trucking along. I know I missed one a couple weeks ago, so now Justin just needs to sit one out, and then we're all even. But so as usual, Rich Rod press conference. We're here at Lowell Stevens Football Facility. I'll play a clip here about Khalil and his performance the other night from Rich Rod, and then we'll talk about that, and then look ahead to the Oregon State game.
Khalil's a competitor, and sometimes you gotta let the game come to you. And when you're a dynamic athlete like he is, sometimes you just want to kind of take charge and dictate to the game. And a lot of times you gotta let the game come to you and kind of take what they give you and be patient a little bit. And you know that's not his nature. He's a really exciting player, but I think particularly in the third quarter. Third quarter and the early part of the fourth quarter, he was just letting the game come to him, so to speak, and making good decisions. And I said, he's a young guy. He's only had a few starts, and he'll learn from it.
Does it make you optimistic that he was able to calm down and you know get on the right track in the second half?
And even in the first half when things were happening, and he was still in tune to the game and aware of what was going on. It was a collective effort all the way across the board, but. That's where it's a good lesson. And I think he'll, I said he was still into the game even when we weren't playing well, and he's conscientious enough to get better from it.
All right, so you heard it there from Rich. He talked about how Khalil maybe tried to do a little too much and maybe wasn't playing within in the game, and maybe he was rushing a little bit. And we kind of thought that might happen because he was going home, he was going against USC, national stage, all that. But I mean, we also saw in the second half what he was able to come back and do. I mean, watching on TV, what'd you come away from that thinking about Khalil and his performance?
Yeah, well, I totally agree with you because, he grew up in Inglewood The Godfather, Gardena?
Gardena.
Yeah, Gardena. So, he's from the Los Angeles area. And
I mean, everyone in high school goes to USC. That's a fact.
There was even a few starters on USC that went to Sarah.
One of them picked him off.
John
Houston.
It was kind of a game where Khalil came in, okay, I've already put Arizona kind of on the national map for a little bit, at least my name is, and I want to go out here and prove to guys that I grew up with and a team that a lot of people consider as kings of the Pac-12. You know, this is a USC team that was once viewed as a college football playoff team. And for him to go home and play against that team, yeah, of course he wanted to put the team on his back a little bit and show what he's capable of. But shout out to Michael Lev for his 5 takeaways article. You should go check that out on Tucson.com now. He provided some clips of Khalil Tate in the passing game. And I didn't think he forced anything when it came to running. I mean, he had 26 carries, which is a lot, but in terms of the passing game, there was a lot of passes where, for instance, Michael Lev had one clip where Devon Cooper was wide open on the flat. That could have easily been an 8-yard gain, and Devon Cooper would have went out of bounds. But instead, Khalil Tate threw it downfield.
Yeah, wasn't that the interception play?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So,
which Rich going off that, Rich mentioned that because that was pretty important because Arizona's down by a touchdown at that point. they needed to tie the game to keep it going. They had already made like a full comeback pretty much, and it was first down, and he kind of launched it pretty deep, and Rich admitted it was the wrong decision. It wasn't Tony. It wasn't a miscommunication. It was just a wrong decision, which I mean we all kind of figured out as it was happening. But the reality is, as Rich said, and as we've talked about, he's 19, just turned 19. He's only started his the sixth game of his career. So, I mean, he's going to go through his ups and downs, but, I mean, the way he played, and once he got that 30-yard touchdown, wherever it was, you could kind of just see him relaxing, and that's when Arizona's offense started getting into a groove. But the flip side of the ball was kind of the issue. I saw a Pro Football Focus stat that Ronald Jones had. He forced, like, 6 missed tackles and had 100 yards after contact. Like, that kind of, like, it's pretty descriptive way of saying that Arizona wasn't tackling well. I mean, he's a really good player. And that also always has to be considered when you talk. Like, Philip Lindsay's a great player, but a great player shouldn't – even a great player shouldn't have 280 yards. Otherwise, they would get that every week. So
yeah, and also, I mean, the biggest difference between Philip Lindsay and Ronald Jones is, I mean, you look at the offensive line. USC's offensive line is
unreal,
far better than Colorado's. So even after contact, I mean, Ronald Jones still had holes and gaps to where he could, you know, kind of make plays. Yeah. And Philip Lindsay didn't really have that, but –
What was your biggest concern watching Arizona's defense? Like, what do they need to, like, what's the issue right now? Because the last 2 weeks they've given up 600-plus yards.
Yeah, and when we could sit here and talk about the pass rush and how it's not there, you know, but, you know, Tony Fields had he was flying around, but, you know, there was a couple times where he had missed tackles, and I don't know if it's just Arizona not really – diving for their feet or wrapping up their legs, because if you go for the legs, they're not going to go anywhere. And I saw a lot of arm tackles, and plus another great quarterback that they face, and they couldn't get any pressure on him. And when you give Sam Darnold
time,
I mean, in crunch time situations, he's known for making good decisions. Yeah. When you give him all the time in the world, he's going to make great decisions. And there was throws that Sam Darnold made that I sat back and looked, and said, "Yeah, that guy's gonna be playing football on Sundays."
Yeah, oh yeah. So. And people like really soured on him because he had thrown some interceptions, turned the ball over a lot. But you just see the flashes of like,
"Oh yeah,
this dude's better than anybody."
So yeah, I mean, Arizona's defense, they're young.
Yeah,
I mean, we're at a point where, you know, we sit here and talk about the great future, and that's just gonna. We're just going to have to wait because Tony Fields is going to have a couple years to develop. Kylan Wilborn is going to have a couple years to develop. Everybody on Arizona's defense, despite a few pieces in the secondary, they're all going to have to take time to develop. They're not there just yet. So,
yeah. I mean, we talked about this last week, and it's kind of been this way for a few weeks. Even as Khalil Tate's been dominating, they've still been giving up a lot of yards and points. They're a bend-don't-break defense.
Yeah.
And they give up a lot of yards, and as long as they get a couple of interceptions and a couple forced turnovers, then they tend to be okay. But that just doesn't work when you're playing against a team that's more talented than you in reality.
Yeah.
And USC is more talented than them. They're probably around the same level as the teams they've been playing. And UCLA is just down. It's a down year for them. There's no other way to put it. But, yeah, USC is just more talented. And the team they're playing this weekend isn't more talented. If they lose this game, then it's I mean, they're 20-point favorites. Like, Arizona's pretty rarely 20-point favorites.
Yeah, man.
Even in, like, basketball. Like,
what's the last time
I was talking to Greg Hansen, we couldn't figure it out. Because even, like, when Colorado was terrible, like, Arizona wasn't that much better. Like, they weren't, like, amazing either. Yeah, still, like, 20 points is a lot.
Yeah.
But,
and, yeah, this is going to be we'll talk more about a little bit more about Oregon State. But this is a game where, you lost last week, but you're playing against – literally the last team in the Pac-12. If you can't come back from that, then maybe just take your L's and we'll see you in El Paso.
Back in El Paso. Maybe join us this time.
Oh, hopefully.
But, okay, yeah. So I'll go to some comments that Rich had about Oregon State and their transition to their new coach, Corey Hall.
You know, they've played with a lot of new energy. You know, probably, being more wide open, trick plays, other things that they do. They're playing hard. You know, they've lost a couple. Lost in Stanford the last second, Colorado last minute. And so they're playing with a lot of confidence, even though they hadn't won. They're playing a lot of confidence against some good teams. And our guys will see that. It's, you know, a lot of the same guys that we had problems with last year. And a big physical team that plays really hard. And we got to go in there with confidence, but we got to prepare with confidence. That's going to be big and key for us.
All right, so you heard Rich. If you weren't aware, Oregon State and Gary Anderson, kind of halfway through the season, even before that, came to a mutual decision to part ways, which was wild for a variety of reasons, number one of which, that just doesn't happen in the middle of the season. And then the way he did it, how he gave up his entire salary and his contract was insane. But since he left, you know, they were getting killed every week, but since he left, Corey Hall has had them competing at the very least. They almost beat Stanford. They probably should have won that game if they had even a little more talent than they do.
Yeah.
And then I think Colorado, they played pretty closely. So they're not a team. I mean, you should beat them by a decent amount, but they're going to put up a fight. When a new coach comes in, that's what happens. But I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, Oregon State obviously is a team that Arizona needs to dominate. Especially coming off a loss.
Well, to put the whole coaching change for Arizona fans' perspective, it was like the year Stoops got fired.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And Tim Kish
after losing to Oregon State.
Look
at that.
Catch that. Yeah, so they lost to Oregon State. Stoops gets fired. Tim Kish takes over.
They beat UCLA.
Yeah, they don't go to a bowl game, but yeah,
they want
to.
Like, I think they beat ASU at the end of that season too.
And the Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns.
Oh yeah, which was like after the ASU
the very
game,
last game.
It was weird.
It was weird, but yeah it's kind of like that where he probably won't be the head coach next year, but it's a spark. It's a different face.
He's a young team.
And he's young. So Oregon State, I mean, they look at him as, okay, well, if this is going to be our man leading our team, let's go out and try to win every week. And I mean, they're not doing a very good job at winning. But that Stanford game, that was a game that they had in the bag. I mean, they were winning pretty much the entire game.
I think Stanford only had field goals the whole game.
Yeah, it was like 15-9 in the last couple minutes, and then Stanford went down and scored.
Yeah,
but this is also a homecoming for Oregon State tight end Timmy Hernandez.
Yeah, and the Payne brothers on defense.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Wesley Payne.
And his brother Landry, I think.
Both went to Pima, or all three of them went to Pima. So I'm excited for this game. There's a couple Tucsonans coming back to Tucson for a homecoming. And, it should be fun. But Oregon State, they were once viewed as a team that could kind of make noise in the
Pac-12. Everyone was calling them this year's Colorado before the season, and that just didn't work out.
Yeah, that's a pretty bold statement if you call them the Colorado, because, you know, you still had teams like Washington, Wazoo,
well, just in
Stanford,
terms of, like, they seem like they're making progress, and then they were supposed to keep going up, and then they just kind of flatlined.
Down, it was a slippery slope. So. Yeah.
But, I mean, if you just look at Oregon State's numbers, they average 330 yards a game on offense. Arizona averages 507, and they only score 20 points a game. I guess what we'd be looking for this game, I mean, for Khalil's sake, I mean, I'd be pretty surprised if he doesn't have a crazy game. I'd be interested to see at one point if it's a blowout, if they go to Brandon or if they bring in the young guys to see what they have. Donovan Tate, they haven't really had any games since the beginning of the year. Since
Donovan Tate, the young guy?
Yeah, touche. In terms of his class, I guess. But I think the biggest thing I'm just watching out for is just the defense just needs to do better. Like, if they can't stop, I mean, Oregon State has a good running back, Ryan Nall. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think his numbers are as great as they were expected to be, but I think they struggled against him last year. Oregon State beat Arizona pretty good last year. It's not revenge. You don't have a revenge game against Oregon State, but they did lose to them last year. So I just that's the biggest thing you're going to be watching for, right, is how the defense kind of responds to the way they've played the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and we've also seen Arizona struggle against big power running backs for some reason. You know, a team that's built.
Probably because they're undersized, right?
And arm tackles. I mean, who is it? It was Starks from UCLA that started the trend.
And the dude at Cal, that was huge.
Yeah, and they were just big running backs that just got some yards. So, I mean, Nall will have his game. He will have his game, but
it won't be Arizona's not going to pitch a shutout.
But
that's just reality.
But how is Arizona going to also – I mean, if you limit to Oregon State just handing it off to Ryan Nall the entire game, I think Arizona's defense, even – the bend don't break shape that they're in, I think they'll be just fine.
I think, and you want to see the pass rush. You want to see somebody emerge beyond Kylan Wilborn, because I've been saying you can't have one pass rusher. So it'd be nice to see a guy like DeAndre Miller kind of have his coming out party and get into a groove. If he was ever going to, it'd be this week. If not, then you kind of just have to accept that maybe he's never going to be the player that we thought he was going to be.
Yeah, and he was. I mean, I always thought he was going to be a terrific player even a couple years ago.
He's a looks-the-part guy, for sure. First guy off the bus kind of player.
And the coaches rave about him all the time. Yeah. But he just he's like made of glass or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, him, Derek Bowles, I wanted to see him get more active because, you know, he's a big guy that kind of plugs the middle, but you never see him get to the quarterback. He's more of a run stop.
Luca Brunel had a sack late in the game, which was good, but yeah, the pass rush there just wasn't any last week. So,
yeah. So I want the defensive line to step up big, but also I want to see more of the secondary. I want this to be like a four interception, five interception kind of game. Like I want the DBs to look solid because we just haven't seen it. But yeah, Saturday. If you're looking for expectations, expect Arizona to win big.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good spot to end on, I think. Thank you for listening to the latest Wildcast. Michael will rejoin us on Friday for our usual Friday podcast. The game is a late one, 8:15 p.m. On Saturday. We'll be in Arizona Stadium until well after midnight. But as always, subscribe to the podcast on the Apple Podcast app or Google Play. Download the Wildcaster app. Read all of our stories. Follow us on Twitter. And thanks for listening.